Hello out there to all of our podcast listeners. This is Annette.
This is Kelly.
This is Shankara.
And this is Titania, and welcome to the lounge.
Thank you for joining us today here in the Entrepreneurs Elevation Lounge, where we aspire to inspire other entrepreneurs. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Entrepreneurs Elevation Lounge podcast. And I am Shankara McNair, one of your co-hosts here in the lounge. Today we have the honor and the pleasure of having Ms. Dee Bowden, founder and CEO of BCS Solutions, as our special guest here in the lounge, as we wind down our series on minding your dollars and your cents. And just to set the stage for the topic that Dee will be speaking with us about today as part of our Minding Your Dollars and Cents series, I'd like to take some time to share with you a bit about Dee's background. Dee founded BCS Solutions, a revenue recovery company, from a personal desire to see small businesses make big money impact. Dee believes small businesses fall prey to revenue loss because of poor accounting strategies. That's why she's on a mission to help them grow their financial bottom line by sharing her 5-step program for revenue recovery. In fact, with over 10 years of financial experience, Dee has collected over $20 million for several companies and governmental agencies. Dee has been featured in articles in Black Enterprise Magazine and Thrive Global Magazine. She is also the co-author of several books, Soulful Prayers, Volume 2, The Power of Intentional Communication with God, and also the book Entrepreneurial Elevation, 31 Strategic Lessons and Personal Stories from Purpose-Driven Entrepreneurs. And Dee's article, I Just Spoke, Now Where Is My Check?, was featured in Speakers Magazine with Pam Perry. And as you have probably guessed by now, Dee will be talking with us today here in the lounge about collecting the cash. So let's talk some dollars and cents. Dee, welcome to the lounge, my sister. How are you?
I am well. First of all, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are listening to this fabulous podcast around the world. I'm super excited. I am Dee Bowden. I'm the founder and CEO of BCS Solutions. It's an honor to be here to talk about all things money, and particularly around collect the cash. I'm actually doing well for a Friday, doing really well. I'm super excited to be here.
We are super, super excited to have you on the show. Dee, when you agreed to be on the show, we were just excited, and I had to take a moment to think about, talking about receivables. I know a lot of times as entrepreneurs, sometimes as new entrepreneurs, we don't always think about, your receivables. You're trying to get your grind on and get your business up, and you don't always give the thought that you need to give to your receivables. And so I want to take a moment to talk about those 5 steps that you talk about as far as when you're collecting your money. And I want you to share what those 5 steps are that you need to do when you're actually trying to set up your receivables and to get those in place. What are those 5 steps? Share those with us.
Sure. All right. Well, the 5 steps are these. Number one, the way I do answer that question is usually by telling a story, but I'll give you the steps and then I'll share the story. Is that okay?
Yes, absolutely.
All right, cool. So the five steps to collecting your money are, number one, you have to set a goal. Number one, the reason I tell you that you need to set a goal is, number one, if you are a new entrepreneur in business, or if you're a seasoned entrepreneur in business, you won't know the state of your accounts unless you basically have everything tracked. So the way I teach you to collect your money is by having a tracking system. I tell people this way. I'm old school, so I happen to like Excel. So the 5 steps to collect your money is, number one, you need to have, I'm going to use Excel. So I'm going to say you have an Excel spreadsheet. Column number one, what's the name of your customer? Column number two, how much is the contract or the agreement for? Column number three, what's the contract number? Column number four, what did they buy from you? Product or service? Column number six, when are you supposed to deliver that product or service? And column number seven, when are you supposed to bill for it? And if you had a salesperson that helps you do that, their name needs to be in it. Number one, the reason that part of the 5-step process is, number one, you have to see the lay of the land. You will not know how much money is owed to you in the following buckets. Either it's 0 to 30, 31 to 60, 61 to 90, or 90 days past due if you don't have everything laid out. So step number one is basically laying out how all of your accounts and then what money is owed to you in the different buckets. So again, the first bucket is 0 to 30. Second bucket is 0 to 30, 31 to 60 days, 61 to 90 days, and 90 days and beyond. Those are the buckets. So first thing is laying out your accounts. Number two is knowing how much money is owed in each bucket. Number three, copies of your invoices. You can't plan to collect any money if you don't have a copy of the invoice. In this fast-paced digital space, it happens sometimes that people forget to submit their invoices. Or if you submitted your invoice to your customer, there is a possibility that they didn't get it. And even though you hit send on the email, it might have ended up to the wrong person. You might have got one of those emails where it bounces back, and you're like, oh, but you didn't follow up on the next step to find out, okay, well, if the email bounced back, I need to find out who needs to get a copy of my invoice. So step one, again, laying out all your accounts. Step two, what's the buckets for all the money? Step three, what's a copy of the invoice, or who has a copy of the invoice? Step four, making a phone call. A lot of people are like, I don't want to do that part. I said, I know. It's kind of like people that do sales. They don't want to do sales either. But guess what? If you don't have sales, number one, if you don't have collections, number two, you're not going to be in business long. it's part of the process. So you have to get on the phone and make a phone call. It simply goes like this. Hi, my name is D, and I'm calling on behalf of company, blah, 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 about account number, blah, 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 and invoice number, blah, blah, blah. May I speak with the person in the accounts payable, please? Pause. They're going to connect you. Now, again, I'm talking from a corporate standpoint, but this happens whether it's corporate or a small company. It's the same thing. You still have to make the phone call. So you're calling about that. And then you're asking to speak to the person in accounts payable. Hey, thanks for taking my call. I appreciate you. I'm just curious. This is literally how I do my collection. I was just curious to find out about the state of this invoice. According to my calendar, this was due on such a date, and I noticed that we haven't gotten paid yet. Could you tell me, please, number one, did you receive the invoice? And number two, is there a problem? Is there anything that's wrong? And then pause and let them tell you. And take out a piece of paper and pen and write it down. Mm-hmm. Seriously. And then, once you get the information, write it down. Thank them for taking your call. Thank them for giving you the information, and then follow up with an email that documents everything that was stated to you in the call, so that they have a record and so do you. And then the last step is actually make sure provide them a copy of the invoice if it's missing, find out if there's an issue that's resolved, resolve the issue, and then go back after everything is done and tell your customer thank you. And here's the reason why. I personally believe that gratitude changes everything. You'd be surprised how quickly things can shift if you would just stop and say thank you. A lot of people forget that because you're so busy chasing the next contract, the next sale, the next this, the next that. But the person that's in accounts payable is the person that's responsible for figuring out how come you haven't gotten paid, number one. Number two, he or she will get your invoice into the queue for the next payment. And going back and saying thank you for them researching the problem and telling you what's wrong and then thanking them for that, you've built the relationship and you also have showed them respect. That's how I've been able to successfully recover the kind of money I've done. It's because of what I'm telling you. But number one, I'll just recap it one more time. You got to have an Excel spreadsheet or a whiteboard. If you're old school like me, I like Excel. But if you prefer a whiteboard, it doesn't matter which way you do it, but you need to have a tracking system of one or the other. So you can have the whiteboard. Same thing with the columns like I explained. Two, you got to follow up. Three, you got to provide the copy of the invoice. Four, you got to resolve the issues if there are any. And five, go back and say thank you for your payment.
Wow, that's awesome. That's awesome. And, you know, I think about, like, right now, you know, those steps that you just laid out, you know, you have to make sure you have the layout of the accounts. You have to make sure that you are, you know, what's owed. You know, you have to copy the invoice. You make the phone call. You thank the contact on the other end of the phone when you make the call. I'm just thinking about, like, right now, you know, this whole having a system in place to collect on the debt. I'm just thinking about so many of these small businesses right now as we're recovering from COVID-19, and, you know, just so much is going on right now just from a standpoint of finances. You know, people are just really just hurting right now, and this is just a perfect system that people are going to have to put in place and be able to use as we try to recover from COVID-19. So I just know a lot of our actual entrepreneurs, our small businesses that are listening tonight can really take heed and use these five steps. So I hope you guys are writing these steps down. I'm going to recount them again for you. She said quite clearly, you need to make sure you have a layout of your account. You need to make sure that you know what is owed. You have a copy of the invoice. you make that phone call, and you also thank that person on the other end of the line once you get that information. Those are key steps. Please make sure you write them down. They're going to be pertinent for us, a lot of us who are small businesses, as we move forward and we recover and we're trying to make sure we can collect on our receivables. That's pertinent information. Thank you for sharing that for us, Dee. That's just
sure
awesome.
Thing.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. I think about it too. I read something you said too when you talked about collecting your receivables. You said something that I thought was very profound. You said strong invoices produces continuous revenue, not talent. What did you mean by that?
Oh, sure. Because here's the thing. People look at collections as one of those things where it's like, oh, you know, some people have what I call they'd rather go get a root canal than deal with collections. And it's true because collections, generally speaking, is given a bad rap because most people think about collections from the consumer standpoint. And what I meant by strong invoicing produces continuous revenue means this. In your business, your business wants to do two things. One, solve a problem, and number two, make money. As you have your sale for your product or your service, you need to make sure you're providing your product or service, number one. Number two, you have to produce your invoice and submit your invoice according to the terms of the contract. And what that does is, as soon as, because like I said earlier, it ties back to the spreadsheet or to the tracking I was talking about. You need to know how many sales did you have, number one. Number two, how many invoices did you set out for the month? Three, how do you plan how much revenue is coming in, how much cash is coming in if you have no idea how many invoices you've submitted for the month of, let's say this is the month of June. This is June 12th. So the past 11 days, hopefully, you've submitted some invoices for your customer. Right now, you need to know that's going to tell you by the end of June, June 30th, if you've been doing your invoicing every single day or every Friday, you should know, I produced this many invoices for week one. It's $10,000. So 10 times
right.
4. It's $40,000. Well, strong invoicing produces continuous revenue because obviously if you're selling, that's one. So let me slow down so I can make sure I'm making it clear. Strong invoicing produces continuous revenue because number one, in order to produce an invoice, you had to have had a sale. You don't invoice if you don't have a sale. You don't invoice if you don't have a product. You don't invoice if you have a service. You don't invoice if you don't have a contract. Those are the things that happen. You got to have a sale first. You got to have a contract. You have to have a product or service to deliver, then you have to invoice. And if you're not producing your invoices on a regular basis, you're not going to know how much revenue to anticipate for the month or for the quarter. And it's not necessarily about talent. It's really about who's managing the state of your account and making sure that what you have on the front end, which is sales, ends up being revenue or collections on the back end. If you're not doing that, you can think, oh, I'm just fine, and that's not necessarily true. As a matter of fact, if it's okay, let me share with you a story that'll probably make this make more sense. So,
absolutely.
I'm originally from Boston, so I actually live in Maryland now. So outside of Boston, where I'm from, there was a small IT company that I used to work for called Amherst Technologies. They had $8 million worth of sales on the books, not in the bank. And this will tie right into how strong invoicing produces great revenue, but not talent. So they had great talent. They had sales people that sold IT services. They sold software licenses. They sold computers. They sold mouses. They sold everything IT. The orders were going through. So they had the sale. They had the contract. They had the orders. They delivered. But the last, and they did the invoicing. Now, on the invoicing part, invoices were crushing it. Last part, which is my land collections, they let $8 million worth of sales across all the buckets that I talked about earlier get neglected. So they hired me as a collector part-time to say, hey, D, here's a list of your accounts. We've got $8 million worth of sales outstanding. We need you to get this back. And I'm like, are you serious? I thought it was a joke, but they're like, no, we're serious. We have this much money that's outstanding. I said, okay. So I happen to be a believer. So I said a short prayer and I was like, God, I don't know what happened here, but I need you to show me real quick how to resolve this because that's a lot of money. And I'm working part time. This is a true story. I'm working part time. I'm like, how do you have $8 million worth of sales on the books and not in the bank? I'm like, what? Are you serious? And that's the aging report. That's basically when I was talking about the buckets, about the 0 to 30, 31 to 60, 61 to 90, and 90 and above.
Uh-huh.
They had $8 million that covered all those buckets. So after my short prayer, I get on the phone and just what I modeled earlier. I'm like, hi, my name is Dee. I'm calling on behalf of Amherst Technologies, and I'm calling about account number, blah, 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 invoice number, blah, 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 and I need to understand what happened. So as a part of my recovering $6 million in 60 days while working part-time.
Wow.
It's a true story. And they were like, So the strong invoicing, so the invoices were submitted. So one of the companies, now here's what's powerful. One of the companies said, to your point about talent, we told you guys that we changed our billing systems. And we said, if you would reformat your invoicing to the new billing system, you would have had $2+ million in revenue. So to your question, you asked me how the strong invoicing produced continuous revenue, not talent. We had people that submitted the invoicing, but never paid attention to the fact that there was a change in the billing system. So they just did what they normally do, on rote, submit the invoice, check.
Wow.
Never followed up. So a company said, listen, as soon as, I'm like, hey, can you please send me a copy of that email that outlines this change? Sure. Here's the email. I talked to my comptroller and I said, here's what they said. Here's $2+ million that's been sitting uncollected because someone submitted the invoices doing their regular job, but never followed up to find out, number one, how come we haven't been paid? But number two, to realize that there was a change. And number three, fix it. That's where that part of the story, when I was saying earlier about paying attention to what they tell you, what's wrong, and then address it, that's where that comes from. So in 60 days, I did $6 million while working part-time. Now, that's phenomenal. Most people are like, oh my gosh, that's great. The part of the story that makes me passionate about working with small businesses to understand why collections is so important is that the CEO of the company says, listen, we need to have a chat. Now, I always say at this point, if you have a boo or a boo at a special person or not, if he or she says to you, listen, we need to talk, that's cue or clue for this is not going to go well. So we come, it's just not. Y'all know, if he or she says, listen, we need to talk, you're like, I don't want to hear this today. I just don't. So we come downstairs and he says, listen, I want to thank you all so much for your services. We appreciate everything you've done, from sales to contracts to order entry, all of that. But listen, we've made an executive decision. We're closing the company. You got 30 minutes to get your stuff and leave the building 2 months before Christmas. After I pick myself off the floor, I'm like, are y'all serious? Now, listen, this isn't a two-month span. They got $8 million worth of sales on the book. I get $6 million back working part-time. Myself plus 100 people working for a small business have their lives turned upside down 2 months before Christmas. You fast forward that to today, and I'm like, my heart hurts for the small business community that has been impacted by COVID-19, because they've also too probably have sales on the books, and they're nervous about, oh my gosh, do I ask my customer for your money? Yes, yes, you do, especially if you've already provided the service.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're asking for the money because you're in business. This is not a charity. This is business. It's not personal.
Exactly.
It's business.
Exactly. Wow. That is amazing. Recovering $6 million in 2 months. And this is why we say collect that cash, right? This is amazing,
Dee.
Amazing. Well, we're going to pause right here, guys. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Give us a moment.
Hi, this is Jennifer Bryant, life coach, career coach, consultant, speaker, from Reaching Within, an Empowerment Journey. Welcome. I want to share with you about my 30-day journal to overcoming personal challenge to achieve professional success. It is a uniquely crafted 30-day interactive journal where I share my story of how I overcame traumatic events and climbed the corporate ranks from clerk typist to executive. This journal provides inspirational quotes, blank pages, and prompts that will empower you to reflect and set goals to achieve personal and professional success. These coaching prompts will help you reach within to balance your life through maintaining a positive attitude and mindset, enhancing self-awareness, managing stress, and handling disappointment. Reach within to regain your power to live your life victoriously and successfully. You can find my book on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. You can order it directly from my site at reachingwithinempowerment.com.
Welcome to the new Entrepreneurs Elevation Lounge podcast series, where four unbossed boss diva entrepreneurs aspire to inspire new and budding entrepreneurs. All are welcome here at Lounge, where we will always have a positive and encouraging word to share So grab your beverage of choice, your notebook, and turn your radio or laptop up and get ready to join Annette, Kelly, Shankara, and Titania on Wednesday evenings at 7:30 p.m. This is a new series with a mission to help entrepreneurs discover their truth. See you there in the lounge at 7:30 p.m. on Hump Day Wednesdays. We'll see you then.
All right, we are back in the lounge with Ms. Dee Bowden, CEO and founder of BCS Solutions. Dee, welcome back. So
Thank
we were
you.
Just finishing up a conversation with Dee where she had just told us she had successfully recovered $6 million for a company in less than 60 days. That is phenomenal. Dee, that just leads me into my question, because I think you're going to tell me how this worked out for you. You know, was that your defining moment? Is that when you knew that this was, because I heard you say you're passionate several times in that story you told us. Is that when you knew that maybe this was where you were supposed to be? This is your destiny to help businesses be able to get on the path of being able to collect those coins, and that this is kind of your gift. Is that when you knew this? Was that your defining moment? Tell me, was that it, or was it there another time when you really knew that this was your calling?
Well, you know what? It's been a combination, but that moment right there was definitely one of them, because after I picked myself up off the floor, seriously, I was just like, how did this happen? I've always kind of been that inquisitive kid, although I'm grown now, but I've always been that inquisitive person. Like, how did this happen? And I struggled with it then, and I struggle with it now. And struggle, not like in a bad way, but struggle meaning I sat and pondered and thought about, like, how did this happen? It happened because of a couple of things. Number one, the sales and contracts and order entry and invoicing and collections, those five departments worked independently. They were all the independent silos. And I said, there's a clue right there. So everybody was doing their one thing. So if you're a salesperson that listens to me, I get it. Listen, you're making sales. Listen, you're not thinking about the collections. You're thinking about, look here, I make the sale, I'm going to get my commission. And hey, whatever happens after that, that's on y'all. But I'm getting my commission. I get it. And,
right.
I respect that. That's true. You're in contract. You're making sure legally that the company is protected, number one. Number two, that the agreement that was based on the sale, you're making sure that the contract is written so that, you know, when it protects the company. Number two, that you outline the deliverables. What are you buying? What are you selling? What are you getting? And outlining invoicing, what you're supposed to do, and then all those things. Got it. Order entry. Hey, we ordered 10,000 widgets. Okay, I got to make sure I punch in the number 10,000 widgets that they get shipped out. Boom. Invoicing. I got a bill. Collections. Hey, cool. So sales and collections never talked. Because you can get the sale on the front end, but the sale is not complete until the money is actually in the bank. Let me say that again. The sale is not complete until the money is in the bank. And that's when I began to realize that, what happened to me and the 100 people that work for that small business, that could happen at any given time, at any moment. Because here's the thing, if you're a small business today of one person or more, or you've scaled and you have more people coming to work with you and for you, their lives are, they're banking on you doing the right thing. They're banking on you getting enough sales and enough contracts and enough revenue so that as they support you in your dream, they're going to be able to manage this. And it's like, this could happen on a regular basis, and you could show up and go, what happened? I mean, if anybody who's ever listened, if you've ever been laid off from a corporate job, you know how it is. You walk in one day, you're thinking your job is straight, you're good. And they're like, excuse me, can I see the office, please?
wow.
Your life is over. You're like,
all right.
So what happened to me is what drives BCS Solutions, is because I work for a small business. We're talking to a small business community, and some of them are probably doing really, really well. Some might be struggling. But if you don't know the state of your accounts, if you're just chasing the next sale, the next contract, and you're not following up on how many invoices you submitted for the month, how much revenue is coming in, you can fall asleep and think you're fine and be just like the company I shared, how they had all this money on the books, meaning the sales were booked, but the services hadn't been done, the money had not been collected, and you're thinking you have all this revenue, and you really don't.
Wow. You know, you said a couple things here that kind of lead into my next question I was going to ask you. You know, because we have a lot of entrepreneurs out here. You know, the economy was really booming before COVID-19 came about. a lot of new businesses were being started. So Dee, you know, as I was getting prepared for our interview, I was thinking, you know, the economy was booming before COVID-19 happened. There was a lot of new entrepreneurs starting their own ventures, and they don't necessarily have revenues coming in, right? They're still trying to bootstrap their companies. They're trying to get off the ground. They're just, you know, hustling, just trying to make it happen. So what would you tell those individuals that are trying to make it happen right now? They don't have revenues coming in yet. What would you tell them to do now to make sure that they're positioning themselves, right? So that when the revenues do come in, that they're doing those things. They're like, for example, you said, making sure that your departments are talking to each other, right? Making sure that you are making sure you're following up on your contracts, making sure you're making those calls, making sure that you have that spreadsheet that you're following things, all those things that you gave us those instructions on how to do once those revenues start coming in. What would you say to do to position stuff to make sure that those happen before those revenues happen? What would be your advice you'd give those one-man shops that are trying to get to that point but haven't gotten there yet?
All right, perfect question. Well, the first thing I'm going to tell you is this. Make sure your company is actually set up legally. let's do that part first.
Good point.
Let's start there. Before you can even talk to me about sales or, D, I need your help with collecting your money, your company needs to be set up legally. And legally means, number one, that you have articles of organization, that you're set up as an LLC at a minimum. Number two, do you have a business checking account? Not PayPal, not Cash App, not Stripe, not Square, but a business checking account. Number three, do you have a tax ID, what's called an employer identification number, which basically is a social security number for your business, just like you have your own personal social security number. So number one, articles of organization, you need to be set up legally to do business. Number two, you need to have a business checking account. Number three, do you have a tax ID number or employer identification number, which means it's a social security number for your business, like you have your own personal social security number. Number four, do you have a relationship with an accountant? Do you know an accountant? Do you have a relationship with an accountant, or do you know an accountant? Because here's the thing, in order for you to be a business to plan for sales and plan for contracts and plan for revenue and plan for growth, you need to be set up legally. So number one, articles of organization. So you need to be set up as an LLC at a minimum. I can't speak to the other pieces, but I know for sure you need to have an LLC. Number two, tax ID number. Number three, business checking account. I don't care where you have it at, but a business checking account. Business, and hear me again, please. PayPal, Stripe, Cash App, or Square, those are not checking accounts. Those are merchant accounts, which is basically a system to move your money from one person to another. Business checking account means going to Bank of America. It means going to your local credit union. You know, your basic checking account, but basically, so is that. And then five, relationship with an accountant. Whoever does your personal taxes, ask them do they also do small business taxes, and have them look over your plans for what you're going to do, and then have them help you set up your accounts to make sure things are done legally. Because I can't tell you how many companies I say, oh yeah, I'm in business. Well, where's your information? What had happened? No, we don't want to hear what had happened was. No. So these are the things. So you need to make sure that you are legally ready to do business before you can do business. It's kind of like having the training wheels before you take them off. You know how you practice with your training wheels on your bike as a kid?
Absolutely.
With the helmet on and you had the training wheels. You had to learn how to maneuver the bike first with the training wheels first before they took the training wheels off, and then they let you go down the street. Now, if you're old school like me, you know, you went down the street, you fell off that bike, you skinned your knees, skinned your elbows. You're like, man, this hurts. Well, I'm trying to help you from skinning your knees and your elbows in business by suggesting that you have these things in place to make sure you are legally ready to do business before you can start to go after the sales and go after the contracts and do all those other things.
Absolutely. Well, let me ask you this, Dee. So for your company, BCS Solutions, tell me, what are the services they offer? So once I've gotten to that point and I'm ready to, I've got my revenues coming in, you know, I'm trying to collect on my sales, what other services I can turn to you to get from your company? Tell me what you offer me as a service provider.
Sure. Well, what BCS Solutions offers you is the following. Number one, if you have accounts that are 60 days past due, 90 days past due, or beyond, we can offer you what's called an audit. An audit basically means to sit down with you over the phone or video and say, tell me about these accounts. And so I need to figure out what happened. Why are you 60 days past due in collecting your money? So we're going to talk to you about your accounts, and we want to find out what happened. And then number two, we're going to talk to you about some strategies in order to recover that money so you can actually get that money back. That's the first thing we offer. Number two, we offer training. So if your company has grown and you now have let's say you have a team of two or three or four, and that person does not really understand how to build the relationships to collect the money, we're coming in, we'll train your team how to effectively collect money. And number three, we offer outsourcing services, which means basically if you're a company that doesn't just, you know, the thought of collections makes you chalk, you know, take your fingernails on the chalkboard and you're like, I just can't. You can outsource it. I'm just keeping it real. You can outsource it to us and we can collect it for you, and then we will receive a portion of what we collect. That's what we do.
That's awesome. So you guys have heard it from Dee here. Dee, tell me this. Tell our listeners, if they need to reach you after this call is over, how can they reach you?
Well, the best way they can reach me, you know what, they can connect with me on LinkedIn. They can actually look me up on LinkedIn. I'm Dee Bowden, and you also punch it in, Collect the Cash on LinkedIn, and connect with me on LinkedIn. And then you can message me, and we can have a conversation about that. But you also can go to www.collectthecash.biz. That's www.collectthecash.biz. But first up, reach out to me on LinkedIn. We can have a professional relationship, and you can message me, and then we can schedule a call, and we can talk about your accounts.
That is awesome. Well, Dee, I, along with the other lounge co-hosts, thank you for stopping by today to join us in the lounge to be part of our Minding Your Dollars and Cents series. We wish you continued success, my sister. You be well and you stay blessed. And to all of our podcast listeners, we thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Entrepreneurs Elevation Lounge. And we will see you next time here in the lounge. Until then, be well.
Now let's get out there, y'all, and elevate, 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 elevate.